Dr. Stephen Greer, the head of the Disclosure Project. He's got big things happening in DC coming up in regards to disclosure. Do you guys remember the National Press Club? Well, Dr. Greer is back in Washington. This was one of the biggest events in early 2000, and now, 20 years later, back in Washington, D.C., Greer, along with Michael Schrat, will be presenting evidence, terabytes of information to the Congress, to the press, to the Senate, and it's all happening in the midst of our new documentary, UFO Endgame to Disclosure, and Above Top Secret. They're still making the top ratings on Amazon and iTunes. Right now, we got Dr. Stephen Greer. You've been speaking about how you've been working with people that work within the Black Budget projects, the people that budget it out. These are the people that are assigned to the secret programs and the cover-up. These are the people that should be bringing disclosure. They know it, but you're working directly with them in Washington. What is their take in regards to the goal of getting this out to the public?
It's been 14 months that I've been working directly with these folks, and unfortunately, they are, hitting a wall in terms of how far they can take this quickly, but they're persisting. There have been some unfortunate events that have happened I don't want to talk about on camera. However, these are the number top, the number one people in the entire United States government who would have the highest clearances managing the three-letter agencies, managing the Black Budget, but who have not been allowed to get anything through channels, legal channels, on the UFO, UAP, whatever you want to call it, issue. And the issue here for me is that this is no surprise. When I briefed the CIA director 30 years ago, this was the situation. When I briefed members of the Senate Intelligence Committee in the early 2000s, this was the situation. Because what the public doesn't seem to yet understand, and most members of Congress are just beginning to understand this, is that there are at least two governments. There's the government that we elect and appoint, the constitutional government. There's a secret government that is far deeper and embedded and more powerful, unfortunately, than the constitutional government. And this is not a conspiracy theory. This is something we can prove in a court of law, no question. So when you start talking about what's happening in Washington, you have to understand that the people who are tasked with getting to the bottom of this, when they make inquiries through channels and within the government, they basically get nothing, because most of the people in the legal government know nothing about the issue at all. And if they begin to get close to people who are working this subject, both external to the government as contractors, like at the Lockheed Skunk Works, or inside the government, they're basically, denied information or threatened. So I think we're in a situation where they're doing the best they can. And what our job is in the disclosure community is to provide dispositive evidence and proof, as well as the testimony of firsthand people who are in the system, who can then verify the facts. So that's where an external organization such as the Disclosure Project, which I founded in the 1990s, is really becomes a key ingredient in this whole process. Because unfortunately, until there is an open hearing, right now it's an investigatory phase, and the information is going into a SCIF, a secure compartmented information facility, under top secret special compartmented information classification. What that needs to pivot to is an open hearing. But to get to the open hearing, what's happened, at least with the initiative right now, the law that was passed in December, is that people are being routed to this Pentagon office known as AARO, A-A-R-O. Now, of course, that office is somewhere between not knowing anything or deliberately not wanting to know anything, in my opinion. So having dealt very closely with these folks. So this is where it becomes even more important to have a check and balance on AARO and on the Pentagon on this. Because as you know, in the past 70 years, there have been multiple committees and panels convened, and they've all been dog and pony shows designed to ensure the cover-up. So the only way you're going to break that cycle is to have people who do know what the truth is, which is what we're doing, providing them with the intelligence materials and the direct firsthand witnesses. And then they can be a check and balance on the publicly acknowledged process, such as this Aero office. So I think that is really important that people understand that is what we're doing and will continue to do. In my opinion, they've made huge strides in the last year and a half. And so our job now is to try to prepare and then bring to Washington, which is what we're doing actively, the military and intelligence and corporate witnesses that are willing to go through the current process. We're hoping a number of them, and I'm making an appeal right now, of them will do that. And then some who are comfortable doing so will come out publicly. We're doing a National Press Club event on June 12th, Monday, June 12th at 2 p.m. So, and there's a conference, a two-day conference prior to that on June 10th and 11th at the JW Marriott in Washington, right between the White House and the Congress, the Capitol building. So we will be doing that, and the National Press Club event, slated to be about 2 hours, we will be presenting an enormous amount of new evidence and information from some of the nearly 800 top secret military and intelligence witnesses we have. In the last 2 months, we have had about 60 new whistleblowers come into the Disclosure Project, 60, not 60. So this is, of course, a huge undertaking because we have to vet them. I have to interview them. The ones who are willing to come to Washington and give classified testimony, we have to arrange for them to come. And we're trying to see which of those might be willing to come out publicly at the National Press Club event. Now, there's something in between the two that's happening, and I can only speak tangentially about it. But we have had a meeting in the past week with senior people in the Congress who have green-lighted an open hearing on the subject, not a classified hearing, on a key and relevant committee. Now, this is in the early discussion stages. It needs to happen, and it needs to happen, I think, in the next 6 months. We'll see if that can be made reality. The National Press Club event that we need everyone to tune into, support, come to, only 500 people can fit in the National Press Club ballroom, but we have the big ballroom reserved. And what I'm hoping is that that will create enough social support, political cover for the couple of dozen key members of Congress, Senate and House, interested in the subject to boldly move forward out of a classified process where the public is not informed. And by the way, most of Congress isn't informed, to a very open hearing process. We've been calling for that for, as you know, for 30 years. It has never happened in the history of the United States. Every time it starts to happen, it gets hijacked by members of this covert program that really doesn't want this information out to the public. So we're going to see. We'll just see if this happens or not. Hopefully it does. It's certainly been, I can tell you, this open hearing process through a key and relevant committee has been approved from the top down in the Congress. This is a big news, breaking news story right now to everyone. Just came from that meeting this past Thursday, and we're now scrambling to prepare for that because this would certainly alter the course of what we're going to end up doing on June 12th. So I hope everyone can come. It's going to be history in the making. Stay tuned. That's still over 2 months away. There's a lot happening every week. One of the things that has also happened in the last 4 days, I've learned of a very senior investigator for the U.S. government that was on the watch group list, meaning the kill list, along with a few of us, who is leaving the government this week and has become an official whistleblower who will be coming forward, not at our National Press Club event, but publicly later in June, early July. And it will be explosive, given what this gentleman knows, the places he was able to go to based on the intelligence we gave them. It's going to be substantial. But I think that what people need to understand is when these events begin to unfold, the real question is, how is that going to be watched, overseen by the public? Because it's very easy for covert programs to gaslight and deceive members of Congress. Because if the members of Congress don't know whether these objects are Chinese balloons or what, then they can have any kind of credentialed scientist or credentialed military or intelligence official go up there and spew a bunch of nonsense and disinformation. Well, what does that do? That creates an enormous problem of the whole process being diverted into something false, a false narrative. So, of course, there's great promise with this, but there's also, it's fraught with a number of dangers that I'm outlining right now. And this is being headed up by people who actually do know that we have extraterrestrial vehicles. They do know we have reverse engineered craft. They do know that there's a secret government operation that's being run illegally and unconstitutionally. They know this. These are people that we have duly and thoroughly briefed. So I think that this is a game changer. It's dangerous because if in fact they stay the course and hold an open hearing on this, and they actually subpoena the witnesses we would recommend that are subpoenaed. Some of them would be cooperating witnesses. Some of them would be very hostile witnesses, but under oath. And since we have information about what they know and what they've done, they will either have to testify truthfully or be put in prison for perjury.
You know, you speak of the PTSD. Even when you were found out what was really going on behind the scenes, and you were talking in our documentary UFO Endgame about some of the PTSD that these people are experiencing when you're briefing them.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a quick look at UFO Endgame to disclosure, and we'll be right back.
So there's 100 disclosure efforts out there now, and I'd say most of them are just putting out, there is an echo chamber of parroting the narrative and the script being written by these black projects, these illegal black projects. So I'm a big skeptic. I always have been. I mean, if you take 99% of what's presented on this subject, that you go to any conference or internet search or what have you, I go, that's false, that's false, that's false, that's false, and can be provably so, but no one's listening. Because it's more exciting to get all, you know, worked up about a threat from outer space. It makes for excitement and the juices get flowing. Because humans love to have someone to hate, right?
We've had some of the pilots and the intelligence people talking about them. And now we learn that this is an ongoing situation, and it's not just UFOs. There's, frankly, they've been looking at other things which sound like they come straight out of an X-Files script.
And the demagogues running these information warfare programs and psychological warfare programs, they know human nature. They know how they can trigger people into fear, but also into sort of, let's unite people around an enemy.
Short of a couple of little green men landing on the South Lawn or the North Lawn of the White House and saying hi to the press corps there, or landing at the next Super Bowl and dropping in, What is the bridge between these videos and we know that whatever this thing is, it is not human?
They want a new enemy. They've been wanting to build up a new enemy. The Pentagon office, a lot of the folks I know in this city absolutely realize that that office is sort of a window dressing to comply with the congressional bill that was passed mandating that the Director of National Intelligence and the Pentagon report to the Congress this issue. But a true investigation absolutely is not writ large. I'm on the record here, and I'm in a position to say this authoritatively. It's going to happen from that office.
and they're involved with it. They're in close proximity. All they have to do is open the door and find out, but they're even being left out. And what you're telling them leaves them shaking in their boots. So again, these people, you say it's a dangerous job. Look at what just happened to our former president, what they're doing in regards to what's going on in the world. Are these people afraid?
Well, of course they are. I mean, as soon as I got off the phone with the most senior person in the U.S. government covertly dealing with this, I had a Black Hawk helicopter hovering over my house, rattling my entire house. Yes, of course it's dangerous, and of course it's risky. But, you know, I tell these guys who, I mean, remember, these folks are not politicians. These senior intelligence and military investigators who are assigned to the government now as civilians, they're not, even though they may have been JSOC and special forces and this and that, these are not people who are lighting the loafer political, you know, no offense to lawyers and, you know, bankers and businessmen. These are people who are hardened on the battlefield and hardened in terms of special operations. And so they understand this, but they have never seen something like this. I mean, one of the very senior folks that I'm dealing with called the group that they've encountered. By the way, when they you mischaracterize this process, when they were investigating this issue, even when they went to the Lockheed Skunk Works, they were basically shown, quote, a bunch of antique aircraft with jets. They weren't given any of the information of what's actually been worked on out there in the desert. So I think that because that happened, they knew they were being gaslit and deceived. And because of that, they reached out to us. After that, we gave them enough actionable intelligence. And let me explain what that means. Here is the deep underground base where this operation is located. Here's the gate. Here's what's in that facility. And here's all the details that we have from our hundreds of sources. That's all been given to them. Based on that, they didn't knock on the door and get in anywhere. They kicked the doors in. So this has been going on now for 14 months. And so they have actually gotten an enormous amount of information, but they've encountered a kind of thuggery that you would think is in a bad conspiracy movie. But it happens to be true, because remember, this organization running these covert programs is the world's most dangerous and largest criminal enterprise. Full stop in the discussion. So forget the mafia. Forget the worst terrorist cells you've ever heard of. Forget all of that. This organization is way worse and more lethal and vicious. So unfortunately, they have hit that buzzsaw, but they have persisted, and there's a certain amount of cover that we've extended. The organization that's been watching what we're doing, who's supportive, remember, there are factions of this covert group. And there's a substantial faction that thinks it's ridiculous this issue is still secret. I met with a man years ago who worked this matter for a private corporation, Northrop Grumman, and he was astonished that it wasn't out by the late 1960s. I mean, we're talking, what, 50 some years ago. So I think this is, there are people who are extremely committed to the truth coming out and to the fact that the covert group currently running these projects is an existential threat to national security and to world peace and future security of the planet. And I always point out, don't take my word for that statement. Look at the very first or second, but technically really the first CIA director, Admiral Roscoe Hillenkoetter. And he stated in a letter to the New York Times after Dwight Eisenhower gave his famous Beware the Military Industrial Complex speech. And Admiral Hillenkoetter stated that the secrecy around UFOs is a threat to the national security, not the UFOs. The secrecy around it. So now that was 62 years ago. Now imagine the kind of threat matrix that's presented after beyond what he knew in the early 1960s. What has evolved since then, technologically, operationally, et cetera, and so on. So it is a very delicate issue. And this is one of the reasons why I think the next phase and of laws passed by the Congress needs to be an amnesty period for a lot of the more senior people in that organization to come forward. Because what you don't want to get into is into a open conflict. Violent conflict, because as Admiral Wilson, who I briefed back in the 90s, said, once he had it confirmed to him that what the best aircraft and weapon he knew we had were what everyone knows about in the B-2 stealth bomber, et cetera, and that this secret organization had things that could, quote, as he said to me, do circles around my B-2 stealth. So, and now this is the head of the intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, an admiral, sitting in his office. And I looked at him and I said, yes, that is the case. But the problem is we have the rule of law and the truth. And if we can disclose this properly, the public on our side, and they have their covert group and a lot of money, but they do have very powerful technologies. And I think this is why it has to be done wisely. I found in my archive a few weeks ago, my original set of recommendations to Bill Clinton to create an amnesty period for senior people in this organization to come forward so that this issue could get resolved without, as one guy recently asked me, a bloodbath. And I think that's really what we're trying to move towards. It's a peaceful resolution to the subject where we don't go trying to get a pound of flesh from people. The other problem is restitution of funds. There's a senior executive with a major contractor for the U.S. government who's now early 80s, who wants to come forward. He has several hundred million dollars that he has he got by working with that a corporation. And he's afraid that it could be seized under the RICO, Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organization laws of the U.S. government. And he doesn't want his heirs, his children and grandchildren, to be left penniless. So there are a lot of complex issues here. And people go, gee, you know, so these are the kind of conversations I'm having with the one side, people who want to be cooperating witnesses. And then you have this other end of it, where the United States government is just now getting up to speed on this at all, and therefore don't have a mechanism and the laws in place to make this transition to disclosure, complete disclosure, an official disclosure, happen peacefully. So that is another thing we're working on.
You know, you're also working with Michael Schrett, military aerospace historian. He's been collecting the files, and both of you will be presenting over there at the National Press Club in June 12th over there in D.C., massive amounts of information. Let's take a quick look at, again, at UFO Endgame with Michael Schrett as he discusses the crash retrieval situation.
Dr. Greer had talked about, and he wrote a white paper that discusses this. If you've got a classified program, you've got a USAP program, unacknowledged special access program. So from the very get-go, if this is contrary to the Constitution at the very beginning, then the entire program goes against the law. So they're not bound to their national security oaths because it's extra constitutional from the very get-go. So you can see the way Greer has played this is very masterful. It's very genius. So not necessarily are all these people under this umbrella of secrecy if the entire program is extra constitutional from the very beginning. And so it's a very good play that we can capitalize on, and it might be a wedge to get in there so that some of these programs can be declassified.
All right, we're back. And again, working with Michael Schrett, he's been doing this for decades. You've teamed up with Michael to present some evidence over there in D.C. at the National Press Club, something historic, which was one of the biggest internet phenomenons when he did it in the early 2000s. And, you know, hundreds of millions of people saw this. What are we going to expect to see in D.C. when you're presenting this evidence? You got terabytes of information. What's the end game here?
Well, obviously, when you have 2 hours and you have, if it was continuously presented, the information we have, the testimony we have, the documents we have would last probably 3 to 4 years. I'm not exaggerating. So the big challenge we're having is what is the very tip of the iceberg that can be that we need to present to give a sense of the scope of the evidence and the, for example, out of the 800 or so top secret military witnesses and folks that we've identified and many of whom we've already, I've interviewed, some of them have already been recorded. Some are now just now, this month being brought to DC to give their information through this classified process. How do you present that in 2 hours? You know, what do you present? You have to understand you're not talking to, you know, the mashed potato UFO circuit where people are, you know, conference people who go to UFO things day in and day out, year in and year out and know the subject. You're talking to the general public. You're talking to the people in the U.S. government, 99.9% of whom have no information on this. So you have to start, you have to build your case from zero and then take them all the way through to the conclusions, but also, and the assessment, the intelligence assessment, but then the recommendations, what do we do now? So all of that has to be presented and done concisely in less than 2 hours. So that, now that's why the conference beforehand, it's open to the public until it's sold out. I encourage people to come to that. If you can't be there in person, which would really be the most fun, you can come and see it via a webinar stream. We're going to stream the entire 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the press conference, but the 2 days at the Marriott beforehand, that's going to be open to the public to be there in person, but you can also see it from your home anywhere in the world. And I think the reason we're doing that is we want as many people as possible to participate in it and then begin to light up the system for the National Press Club event, whether they have contacts in the media or they contact a member of Congress or they contact staffers they know, whoever it is. And in other countries, let's remember, this is a global phenomenon. In other countries, they should do the same thing with their country's leadership, members of parliament, whatever it is, because ultimately this needs to be a global disclosure movement. It isn't just United States. And there are these other countries, many of whom I've met with some of their leaders. I've met with four of the Five Eyes. The Five Eyes are the intelligence cooperating countries of, you know, United Kingdom, Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand. I've met with ministers of defense for all those countries except New Zealand. And what I found is that in every single case, they were never read in or briefed on the subject. Now, this is an important category of witnesses. I call them inverse witnesses. What do I mean by that? It's how you prove that these projects are being run in a criminal manner. Because if a president or a minister of defense or a senior member of the Senate Intelligence Committee or the head of intelligence joint staff like Admiral Wilson or the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, whom I've briefed, and other people like that all over the world have not made any inroads into getting into what's going on in their countries or in the United States, that is prima facie proof that the subject is being run illegally. Because they can't, you know, one of the things I just determined in 97, 98, once we found out that the Clinton administration, and a friend of his just recently confirmed this to me, was never read into this where they had any control over the matter. And that so if you go from the president on down, and even through the military chain of command, where there are people who, if the projects were being run legally, the people managing the black budget in the Congress, the people in the Pentagon, read into unacknowledged projects like Admiral Wilson, they would know about this. And if they inquired about it, they wouldn't be threatened, they would be read in. But that's not how this is run. And that is proof that the organization is in fact a criminal operation, unconstitutional and illegal. We have to establish these elements because now that the Pentagon has said, yes, the UAPs are real. Yes, they're material objects. Yes, our sensors pick up that it's an actual 3D thing moving in ways we don't understand, blah, blah. Then the next question is, what are they? Now, what they're being told by professional counterintelligence operatives such as Luis Elizondo and Chris Mellon and Nick Pope and others is that we don't know what they are, but they're a threat to the national security. That false narrative, which we exposed 2 years ago in our documentary, The Cosmic Hoax, which you can see on the YouTube channel for free, that is the narrative that they created as another way of deceiving the press, the American people, and the members of Congress. But see, that little game ended about 14 months ago. So now there are people in the Congress, some are beginning to speak out publicly, and kudos to them, like Congressman Burchett. I just got a letter with 16 senior members of the U.S. Senate signing a letter to the Pentagon to step up their investigation on this issue. Unfortunately, they're recommending it through the Aero office, which, in my opinion, may or may not be an actual clean or trustworthy mechanism. But at least the members of Congress, the Senate and House, are stepping up and are stepping forward very decisively.
Hey, they're asking questions. And again, Tim Burchett speaks of a major cover-up. He agrees with you that there is some kind of secret being hidden from us, and it's on a high level of secrecy, and he's demanding the truth. And he says there's this blackmail politics going on with people that have answers, but they're not going to come forward because they usually got something on them. This is how he says Washington works.
Yeah, of course.
Do we need more Tim Burchetts out there? How many other congressmen are being as, dare I say, ballsy as Congressman Tim Burchett coming forward and asking questions, or go ahead.
Well, he's been very outspoken, but, you know, Senator Rubio's made some very strong comments. There are other members of Congress and Senate who have a bit milder, perhaps, in their approach. But I think don't mistake what's said publicly with what they feel is going on. But the point you make about using blackmail files, this is as old as the hills, where you try to get dirt on someone and use it against them. And of course, you know, famously, J. Edgar Hoover had a file on everybody, every president, every congressman, everybody, everybody, everybody. And that's how he stayed in power, was that no one dared challenge him because he could ruin them with all the dirty tricks and stuff they had on people. So yes, that is something that happens day in and day out and day in and day out. And so what I always tell people is that, so what? You just have to ignore that noise. But if you're a politician and you have to get reelected, you can't ignore it. And so this does become a problem. But there too, one of the things we're going to call for, and I have not talked about this before, is that there be an immediate investigation, criminal investigation, subsequent to these open hearings that are being now talked about actually occurring, by the Department of Justice to prosecute those who have been involved in felonious activity, drug running, money laundering, threats and intimidation, assassinations, so-called wet works, of the use of force to kill people who know too much. All of that needs to be moved quickly into an investigation, because I have dealt just recently with two very key top secret witnesses who have been had this sort of a dirty trick, bag of tricks played on them. Remember, at this time also with AI and what they call deep fakes, both audio and video deep fakes, they can create anything. A man that I know not long ago, in the last 9 months, had a couple of men approach him and they said, look at your phone. And on his phone, they had put horrible things on it and said to him, you either keep your mouth shut or you're going to go to prison and never see your children again for as long as you live, quote unquote. This is the kind of stuff I deal with day in and day out. Now, I think something like that should be immediately handed over to people with the investigatory power and prosecutorial power, that whoever did that should be arrested and tried for treason, number one. And then number two, felonious threats and intimidation and what have you. But see, this is the sort of thing that has happened for years. There are people who have documented over the last 70 years many occasions of this happening to either public officials, UFO researchers, or whatever. Now, with the kind of technology that is exists, you know, they could show you, you know, having an affair with Kim Kardashian or whoever, and make it look like it was 100% real. And this is the problem. They have the technologies and the means and the intent to do this. So how do you get that under control? Again, you have to begin to stay not only within the law, but use the power of the law to protect the brave and good people who want to come forward, whether it's a member of Congress wanting to support this process or a top secret whistleblower or whoever it is. And I think that is a really important element that's been missing. We've all been doing this in the wilderness without any official protection, which is in and of itself an outrageous situation. So that has to also, I think, be put into place sooner rather than later.
Speaking of the AI and the advancement of it, it's been unloaded to the public. People are using it. Kids are using it. ChatGPT passing their courses. But a whole new level is the AI as far as generating people and situations. How far advanced is this going to get? Is this going to be a tool for the false flag alien invasion when set this AI in motion with these graphics that seem photorealistic, that we won't be able to tell whether it's real or not? This is getting to a stage.
Oh, it already is. But here's your question. I forget one key point. Whatever you know about through a Google search, or that's on CNN or in The Economist or some magazine, is at least 5 to 20 generations behind what these covert programs have. So if you think the state of the art of this capability is what you're hearing and reading about, you need to take a wake up pill, because that is not how technology happens. These classified projects have technologies way in advance of anything that is known and discussed in the tech sector or in the public media. And this is a dangerous situation. This is why the man who in 1997, and we're trying to track him down again, who was sequestered out of the briefings we were doing for members of Congress at that time in Washington, he had been on an interagency committee in 1974, where they could hit a button and simulate an alien invasion on the planet seamlessly. And he said everyone from the president on down would be deceived by it. So that system has been fully operational. He said it was fully operational well before his tenure there. Now, I have heard this from enough people to know that that capability can, that card, the sort of the fake alien invasion card, can be played at any time. Now, what most people don't understand is that card began to be played in 1953 and 1954. What do I mean? Once we mastered gravity control in 1954, and they knew they were about there in 53, we have a document from the CIA director talking about the psychological warfare value of the UFO subject. The same language was used in the document that Jacques Vallée has but won't release. That is a CIA document from 1985 that explicitly talks about the CIA committing atrocities in Latin America and Brazil and Argentina, staging alien abductions for their, quote, psychological warfare value, et cetera, and so on. Now, we have multiple data points on this. Now, one of the things the public has to understand is that everyone's belief about this issue, aliens, UFOs, the whole zeitgeist, it's 90% staged deception. Now, are there actually extraterrestrial civilizations? Yes. Have they been engaging in those sort of activities? No. We know for a fact these abductions and mutilations are done by this clandestine organization. And there is growing body of evidence for that. But the problem is that when people talk about when will this false flag happen, I said, look in your rearview mirror 70 years. That's when it started. It started 70 years ago. Now we're living in, that's all the psychological preparatory phase. The question is, will they play that final card? And if they do, what are our defenses? I think our only way we can prevent that card from being played is to expose the entire program, expose what they've been doing, how they've been doing it, what part of this is true, what part is false. I don't think it's a coincidence that about the time we were working on together on your film and I had gotten the senior members of the government read into these projects and they started getting doors, entering, kicking in doors, that the Pentagon received from Dr. Kit Green et al. And released 1,500 pages of accounts of people being, quote, injured by UAPs. Unwanted pregnancies, neurological damage, burns. Now, every single one of those cases were done by humans against humans, made to look like it was a, quote, UFO. Well, it was a UFO in the sense that the victim, it was unidentified, but they staged it to look alien. So they've already started playing that card, but no one's watching this. No one's paying attention to what's going on. So when that got released, I went, yep, here we go. Then after I brought the first senior military witness who had been an early U-2 spy plane pilot with multiple encounters with these ET craft, as well as working with the Lockheed Skunk Works and others, and Ben Rich personally, into this process in D.C., you had all of February light up with these Chinese balloons and UAPs we shot down. This is no coincidence, my friend. But at the same time, we expect this. This is not so surprising to us at all. It would be surprising if they didn't do it. So we are factoring all this in our algorithm and planning. But the public needs to be aware that the more this process of the subject coming out happens, the more there's going to be a counter push to pull it into, we're being invaded, they're a threat to the national security, we need an extra $10 trillion from the world economy to fight the big bad aliens invading us. I mean, that's what the game has always been. This is what Wernher von Braun said on his deathbed to Carol Rosen. We know this. So the issue is, how do we avert it? Well, I think the disclosure of the truth and proving what we're discussing here and having a full investigation. You can't do that in a 2-hour press conference. Having a full investigation, an open hearing, and then the Department of Justice with someone who's a clean investigator, if you can find one in Washington, really drill down on this. But they'd have to be beyond reproach. They couldn't be someone who could be blackmailed or bought off. I mean, let's not forget a senior member of the private contracting world on UFOs in 93 told me, quote, we have given at least 10,000 people $10 million apiece or more to secure their cooperation with our project. And, you know, I had had 2 or 3 attempts to purchase me back in those days, and they found out I wasn't for sale. So now the only way they can deal with me is to defame me and call me names. And it's fine. I mean, if 30 years of being called every nasty name in the book, I couldn't care less. But you get a pretty thick skin. But the point I'm making, however, is that most people just now stepping onto the field, who, if you're in the U.S. government and you're either threatened or you're, you know, there's this nasty oppo research they have on you or that they create, or they offer you a lot of money or a powerful position, unfortunately, most humans are going to be affected by that kind of approach. And this is why, to really get to this, I always tell people, the bottom line on this is, what's in your heart? What are your intentions? Do you have the courage to go forward? And are you incorruptible? You have to be absolutely incorruptible.
You know, it's amazing. People are waking up. We're making these documentaries. You're making documentaries. You got another one coming up in June.
It'll be the biggest one. It's called The Lost Century and How to Reclaim It. Go to thelostcenturyfilm.com. You can see what we're doing. It's been finished. It's delivered to the distributor. It's going to drop June 6th. So here's the timing. The Lost Century and How to Reclaim It, that is an expose of all these covert technologies. Free energy, zero point energy, anti-gravity. That comes out June 6th. the conference in Washington is on June 10th and 11th, and the National Press Club event is on June 12th. So that's going to be a very momentous week.
Absolutely. And then UFO Endgame to Disclosure is still the top documentary on iTunes, Amazon. It's been rolling for about 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. People are turning out. Actually, we just dropped the price for rental, so people could go watch it at a lower price versus purchasing the documentary. But again, making the number one spot on Amazon, iTunes, all grassroots. No advertising. People just want to get out there. And it's all word of mouth, because these are the biggest questions that people want to get answers to. And that's what we're here for. We're trying to break it wide open. And again,
yes, good
it
work.
Has to be. Yeah. Thank you.
Everyone liked it who saw it. I mean, I just want people to know, I'm not the producer on that. I was interviewed, but I think everyone I know who's seen it has loved it. And people thought it was very well done, hard hitting. And it's a good compliment to the other body of work we have. I think that the reason we're releasing The Lost Century now is that most people now who follow the news at all on this subject know that the UFOs are real. The Pentagon has said they're real. There's a process to investigate them, even though it's been diverted in a number of directions with that Aero office where, you know, the people heading that up either don't know anything relevant about the subject or they are pretending not to know. But nevertheless, now the question has to be answered. Why? When I first got on the stage doing this as an emergency doctor, and I'm briefing the director of the CIA, he did not need to be convinced that the UFOs were real. He didn't understand why he and the president were being denied access. And what was so important that the president and he and other senior people in the cabinet, including the Secretary of Defense, were being denied access. And I had to explain, it isn't because of little green or gray men. It's because the technologies behind how those things move have been studied, figured out, made fully operational and reverse engineered since the 1950s, which means it's the end of oil, gas, coal, nuclear power, surface roads, public utilities. Shall I continue? Now, what does that mean? It means that the quadrillion of hundreds of trillions of dollars in assets linked to that part of the industrial base of the economy will have to be retired and transition to an entirely new macroeconomic and social system that doesn't relegate to a very small number massively wealthy industrial folks the control over the whole global economy. And so this is something that people with enormous wealth and power do not want to see happen. Now, that's why it's been stalled. This is why Eisenhower lost control of these projects in the 50s. It's why General Patton was killed, made to look like an automobile wreck. Because people who are advocating for this coming out were butting heads with some of the most powerful fascist industrial people in the world that are at the backbone of the entire modern industrial economy. So these sort of issues, and it's not just U.S., it's global, is really important. I mean, you know, the entire U.S. federal budget, $5, $6 trillion a year, which is as massive as that sounds, is a rounding error compared to the assets and revenue of the industries and the parts of the financial system related to what I just described in the energy propulsion utility sector. So the power isn't in the U.S. government. The power is beyond it, above it, within it, hidden to most people who are elected to the office. Slowly they're waking up to this, but I'm hoping it's not a day late and a dollar short, or, you know, a quadrillion dollars short. We have known this. I've known this since the early 90s. Now, this is the big question we have to begin to answer. I don't think we need to, you know, the UFO subculture needs to understand that the situation at this point is put forward the most dispositive evidence you have. And I would recommend anybody in possession of government documents, pilot cases, CE2 cases, where it's left physical evidence, Anyone who's a military whistleblower or government contractor who wants to come forward, either secretively or publicly, they need to contact me at info@siriusdisclosure.com, SIRIUS disclosure.com. If you have that kind of material, we need it immediately. If you're that kind of witness, we need to be in touch immediately. And in particular, if you're willing to come out publicly, which I know for many people is scary, but remember, we already have some 70 disclosure project witnesses that have come forward since 2001, and none of them have been threatened. None of them have been killed. None of them have had anything bad happen to them. So I tell people, we beta tested the system. We need a lot of people to come forward. I was on a Navy SEAL show about a month and a half ago called the Sean Ryan Show. And he was wonderful. And it's a whole group of Navy SEALs who are supportive and protecting us also. And what I tell people is that from that, a network is growing of people who have been Delta Force, Navy SEAL, military, who are stepping out of the shadows. But we need that to become an avalanche of people, because we need that dam to burst, because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've been involved at one level or another in these projects over the decades. And so we need those people to come forward. Now there's a legal mechanism for them to testify and give their information to these investigators and these oversight committees in the Congress, where they're protected legally. And so I'd say the door's open, let's move through it before something happens where they slam it shut. You know, my concern is after we did the National Press Club event in 2001, May 9th, if 4 months later we had 9/11. And so, you know, world events can evolve that then overtake the momentum of something like this, whether planned or unplanned, you can make your own conclusions. But we need to move expeditiously now that this door is open.
It's a mind-blowing situation. For the public, it's like, oh, a conspiracy theory, it's entertaining. But if you're actually in a responsible position and you find out that there's a whole secret government program that you don't know about, it's a shock.
This report comes from a shadowy Pentagon department that was shut down in 2012.
The disclosure movement has been hijacked by people parroting the narrative and the script being written by these black projects. I would say 90%+ of everything that's going to come out is false.
The most widely seen UFO right now is not alien, it's actually ours.
It's a great cover story for all kinds of criminal activities. Blame it on the aliens, right?
If we are being visited by interdimensional beings, we should know about it.
This has the big disadvantage of the truth being much more unbelievable than the fiction.
It's the crash retrievals that are the Rosetta Stone for solving the UFO cover-up.
The implications of this is the difference between extinction level civilization versus one that's going to take off to the stars.
Absolutely. It's a buckle up time. You know, UFO Endgame's out, and you know, you got the Lost Century coming up, the National Press Club. It's all happening, and we're going to be, the links are in the description below, so you could take a look at all the events coming up. Take a look at the documentaries. Mm-hmm. I know we're just about out of time here, Dr. Right. Stephen Greer, but you know, the end game is disclosure and, you know, free energy at this point, and change the world and have a paradigm shift. And I think we're on the right path, but again, you just never know what's going to happen. So people do have to come forward while the timing is right. And you know, it's going to be an amazing year this year. And what's happening with the Congress and maybe more hearings, we'll see what happens. But, you know, things are moving forward in a positive direction. And with people and whistleblowers that are out there that are willing to put their life on the line.
Right. And they, it does take courage, but I actually don't think anyone's going to be harmed. You know, I'm sure you're talking to the canary in the mine shaft here. because I'm the person, the head person bringing these people into DC and organizing and pushing on this issue for 30 years. So, you know, luckily they don't wet work me and kill me. You know, I have plans. If they do, they're going to be very, very sorry they did, which I won't talk about. But I will say that I'm more dangerous dead than alive. So, and I've made that to an extension to anyone who's a cooperating person, whether they're in the government or one of these military witnesses. So it's the best we can do until there's a more official process that exists. And I think we're just seeing the beginning of this process. But time isn't on our side. One of the things I've said to these senior people in Washington is that I know the U.S. government moves at the speed of molasses in Vermont. However, we really, really need to pick up the pace because, and I think there are members of Congress who sense this. Some of the ones I've met with have a clear sense that once you start down this path, it's not a good idea to dither because your adversaries here who are running these criminal operations, they have all manner of contingencies and buttons they can push. So I think it would behoove us to move quickly. This is why I'm making this urgent appeal for whistleblowers and people with evidence. Now, let me make this very clear. If you have material evidence, physical evidence of a craft, photos, documents, even if they're highly classified, those should all come to us and we can get them to the right people. Remember, we declared these projects dealing with this issue unconstitutional and illegal in 1997 and 98. That legal position has never been challenged, even though it was the entire U.S. government was notified of this. The Disclosure Project was a test case for that because we released people with top secret clearances and documents, as well as documents that were not declassified that were top secret. If you look at the unacknowledged book. Now, what does that mean? Has anyone had anyone push back on them? No, because no one will ever be able to win a legal battle of or against us on this assertion that these projects are illegal. And that's why I call these inverse witnesses, these senior members of the government who could be subpoenaed, who have been denied access to this information. Those are your main people who would testify if this ever came to that, because they would be able to say, yep, I was the president. Yep, I was the Secretary of Defense. Yep, I was chairman of this committee in the Senate or House. And this goes way back, even way back when Congressman Dan Burton, who issued 1,000 subpoenas against the Clintons and the House Government Oversight Committee back in the 90s, when we met with him and he came to our 1997 briefings for Congress, he said, I've never been read into this and anything we ask about it, we're brushed aside. So there is a long documented history we have of proving that these projects are being run illegally without legal oversight of the president, the executive branch, or the courts, or the Congress. Therefore, it is by definition rogue. And that's why I tell people you should know that even though when you were working at the Skunk Works or you were working on the Delta Forces or Navy SEAL at a facility or an operation, you may not have known that the chain of command way up there was operating illegally, but now you do. And therefore, knowing that, you should feel very encouraged to come forward. And it doesn't matter if you signed an 80-year non-disclosure agreement, which some of our guys have, 80 years, and way past their natural lifespan. I said, that's already been, that's been waived. And we now have a process. You can, even if you have these non-disclosure agreements and a security oath, you can provide your testimony. And so I think it's very important that as a civic duty and a service to humanity, people come forward very quickly now.
You know, now's the time, and you've been doing your work, Dr. Greer, and this year it's going to be, like you said, explosive, the information that's going to be coming out and the call to people to come forward with the evidence. Again, be safe over there. We'll see you in Washington in June, National Press Club, and the Lost Century. It's all going to be there, and it's going to be streaming live on your channel, the National Press Club. You're putting it out for free. This is what it's all about.
There are going to be a bunch of people streaming, and it'll be the whole National Press Club event will be free to the world. And actually, you can come to it personally if you're in town for the conference and be there in person. It's going to be phenomenal. But yes, the entire world will be able to see this in real time. And when you start seeing what's in the archive, I'm going to have streaming behind me, 80, 90 pages of top secret witnesses, names will be redacted, but what they're going to just streaming behind me, you know, 800 of them.
Something not to be missed.
This And remember, all of that has been handed off to the investigators and U.S. government, all of it.
Everybody's going to have what you have, basically. And you're just putting it out there. You've been archiving it. You've been working this for so long, and you're just going to give it to the people and let them see what you got.
Well,
and
we need help, but this archive project, we need a lot of people helping us with it. We also need funding. Here's an appeal. I estimate in this calendar year, 2023, we will have to spend at least $250,000 to $300,000 to get all that material indexed, organized, database created, and all of the other things that go along with it. Never mind building a website and putting it out to the public. So that ain't going to be done by June. But what I'm saying is that's what we want to do. But it's, we're a public interest group. We're not being funded by the Ford Foundation. So we need people to contribute also to that, if you can.
Absolutely. Again, all the contact links is in the description below. Dr. Stephen Greer, appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you in Washington. Be safe. And everybody out there, be safe as well. We'll see you.
See you soon. Thank you.
If we are being visited by interdimensional beings, we should know about it.
This has the big disadvantage of the truth being much more unbelievable than the fiction.
It's the crash retrievals that are the Rosetta Stone for solving the UFO cover-up.
The implications of this is the difference between extinction-level civilization versus one that's going to take off to the stars.